Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Amen. The word of God for our special consideration this morning is our second reading today, 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4, as printed in your bulletins and already read. Dear fellow members of God's flock, you have probably all experienced this at one time or another, at school, in the military, at your job, in some group, maybe even in your family. Someone is teaching or presenting some instructions or material, and you realize that it simply doesn't apply to you. And so you stop listening and tune it out. In my first career, we had a 9-week orientation. And there were 2 days I got paid for being almost completely zoned out. They were giving detailed information about retirement plans and options. And not only was I, as a 23-year-old, nowhere near ready to be thinking about such things, I was quite certain that by the time I was, all of that information would be long out of date. There's a temptation to treat this passage from 1 Peter the same way. I'm not a pastor or anything, so there's nothing for me to learn or benefit from here, and there's no point in paying attention. Now, that might be true in a different context, but this is the Word of God. And we can be sure that every Christian has something to gain from every part of Scripture, and this is no exception. The Holy Spirit has some things here to teach all of us, and let me say it up front. There is a lot that is going to be especially important and valuable for the members of a congregation that is calling for a pastor to lead them. Now, the New Testament does not have a consistent way of referring to those that Christ has given to churches to lead them. In some cases, it uses the word shepherd, which in Latin is pastor. In others, it uses overseer or bishop, and in others, elder. And there are a few others that are used more vaguely or metaphorically. In this passage, Peter uses two of these words to speak of what these leaders with the most complete responsibilities are, elder and shepherd, and uses one to describe what they do, watching over. Elder is a term that doesn't really need much explanation. People pretty easily understand that, generally speaking, those who have lived longer should be wiser and more knowledgeable. And using that term for the men recognized as qualified and then called to lead and teach, yeah, makes pretty good sense. But the term that Peter focuses on here is shepherd. It's a more descriptive and, I think, a more meaningful word. And if we understand better what the apostle is saying to those entrusted with God's sheep, then we also understand better and appreciate more how they are a great blessing to the church as a whole and to each of us individually. So this morning, we are talking about the good of shepherds. Which means that we really have to start by talking about what it means to be a sheep. You have probably heard it said that sheep are, well, stupid animals. That's not very complimentary to sheep, and it's certainly not the most positive point of comparison for us. And stupid is perhaps overstated, though it is true that you will likely never hear it said that someone is clever like a sheep. Perhaps it would be better to say that sheep are neither long-term planners nor big-picture thinkers. When they're busy and focused on eating grass, they can end up straying far from the flock and into danger. They end up needing to be rescued because they weren't paying attention to anything other than what was right in front of them. That's why they need shepherds and sheepdogs to look out for them and keep them where it's safe. And that's also why sheep is such appropriate imagery for describing both the sinners that we were and the Christians and church members that we are. It is going to be a rare human being who thinks deeply and says, I've considered all the alternatives, and I think the best plan for my life is to consistently think, do, and say things that are contrary to my Creator's commands. That way, He will judge me unworthy of heaven, and I can end up in hell for all eternity with the devil and his evil angels. No. What really happens is that people of all types and ages get busy with the moment-to-moment concerns of their lives, and then they see something that's easier than God's way, and they do it. They see something that's more fun than God's will, so they do it. They see something that's shiny or exciting or that appeals to their ego or that just makes them feel better, and they do it without any regard for long-term spiritual consequences. They may even have started out with the best of intentions, planning to please God. But they get distracted by the seemingly greener grass in another pasture. And before they know it, they are lost. And that's what you and I are by nature and by practice. Lost sinners, like sheep without a shepherd, desperately needing to be rescued. But God looked, searched, and found us in our awful state and had compassion on us. So He sent us the Good Shepherd, His own Son, Jesus, to rescue us, to not only lead us in a better way, but most importantly, to clean us up and take away the guilt that stained and burdened us. That Good Shepherd was also the Lamb of God, who gave His life for the sheep, so that the blood He shed for us would wash away all of our sins and make us pure and holy, suitable not just for His flock, but also for the perfection of paradise with Him, the Father, and the Holy Spirit forever. But while we remain in the fields of this world, we sheep of God's flock still need to be shepherded. The sinful nature still inside us prompts us to go back to our old self-centered wandering ways, and all around us are traps and dangers that we won't always see until it's too late. Of course, Jesus is still our Good Shepherd, or as Peter calls Him here, the Chief Shepherd. But He also wants us to have living, tangible, touchable, audible shepherds here on earth to guide and comfort us as His representatives through the days and years of life until we reach the perfect pastures of heaven. And so Christ gives us His under-shepherds to serve us as our pastors. It is a weighty responsibility for them, but entirely a blessing for God's people. In Scripture, we are shown two main aspects of shepherding, as demonstrated perfectly by the Lord Himself. In the first place, the shepherd leads God's sheep to green pastures and quiet waters, the beautiful figures that we remember well from Psalm 23. And second, He protects the sheep from danger, especially predators like wolves that seek to devour them. And Jesus makes a particular point of that in John 10. So how does a spiritual shepherd carry out these duties? First, he feeds the flock with the only food that nourishes their souls, the gospel in the Word and in the sacraments. And second, he protects the sheep from things that are dangerous to their faith, especially from false teachers and teachings that turn them away from their Savior. These responsibilities would have been very important to Peter, and so he was careful to emphasize them with the elders he was writing to here. In the first place, he was well aware that he was part of a unique group, those who learned at Jesus' feet as his disciples and who had also been witnesses to his sufferings and death and resurrection. Christ had charged his apostles with his great mission, to take the good news about him into all the world and make more disciples with it. So Peter was acutely aware of not only his own calling, but also of how the under-shepherds he had trained and encouraged now shared that same calling. And it is true of the church's shepherds today, too. In line with the apostles and like the apostles, they speak for Christ as his messengers, and they proclaim the word of God, both law and gospel, for the salvation of sinners and for the strengthening and comfort of believers. This is why there is no arrogance or presumption when the pastor stands before you every week after you have confessed your sins and declares the absolution, that he forgives you all your sins. This is what Christ has called and authorized him to do. And this is why when you go to your pastor for counseling, he doesn't give you unsanctified psychotherapy. He gives you the wisdom and truth of God and applies it to your life and your problems. This is what a shepherd under Christ does. It's all about the gospel. It's all about Jesus for you, a forgiven sinner and child of God who needs the very things that Christ has given you a pastor to provide to you. Now, earlier I said that the responsibilities of a spiritual shepherd would have been particularly important to Peter. That's because they were also very personal for him. You might remember how, just as Peter denied his Lord three times, after his resurrection by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus asked Peter three times, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And each time after Peter answered, "Yes," Jesus said, "Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my lambs." You see, his Lord not only reinstated Peter as his disciple, he made clear that Peter was to be a loving, nurturing, attentive shepherd to his flock. And Peter's example is valuable because it reminds us that Jesus is the only perfect shepherd, and those he has placed over his sheep are sinners like the rest of us. But even as we acknowledge that imperfection, we are also reminded that they, like Peter, represent a perfect Savior and preach his perfect word. Now, it's all too easy to focus on a pastor's imperfections. And while the sheep should judge their shepherd's doctrine and practice to make sure it aligns with God's word, there are much better things to do than criticize. Things like support, forgive, be patient, step in alongside and lighten his load. Especially when we remember that he is a servant called by the Lord, not a mere hand hired to do our bidding. So what then? If the church has been given such blessings in its shepherds, what will the sheep do? Well, since the sheep in question are saved and sanctified sheep who love their Lord and appreciate all his gifts, they will do their best to be good sheep. Since they are under their shepherd's care, they will accept that care joyfully and thankfully. They will not resist or defy his leading, insist on going their own way, or make his work harder, even when their sinful natures don't particularly like what he happens to say. The letter to the Hebrews addresses this in chapter 13. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. This also means that the sheep of his congregation will honor their shepherd and his willingness not only to serve, but to sacrifice, to care for, nurture, and lead them. When he retired, we had an opportunity here at Our Savior to show Pastor Wagner how much we appreciated him and his tireless care for this flock. And that was good, proper, and wonderful. But too often, such dedication and love are taken for granted and mentioned only rarely or long after the fact. But I do want to ask, how much are you like Pastor Wagner? You should be. He was here a long time. Peter here charges shepherds with being examples to the flock. And earlier in Hebrews 13, we are told, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. It is a scary thing for a pastor to consider how much he is to be not just a teacher or a leader, but also an example. But what is good and godly in your shepherd is not just for you as a sheep to admire or appreciate, but also to imitate. Now, I admit that it may at first seem self-serving, but I can get away with saying all of these things, though it still makes me a little uncomfortable, because I am not your full-time pastor here, and I am in this role only temporarily. I can take advantage of the fact that in my regular call, I don't serve a congregation, and so I can remind you of the blessings that you have had and will again have from and through the pastors that Christ has called and will call to shepherd you here at Our Savior. And one very practical way that we can show our appreciation for our future shepherd right now is to invest ourselves in the calling process. Voters can make it a point to participate in all the call meetings. A decision as significant as who will serve you and your family spiritually for who knows how many years seems to be one that everyone would be eager to be a part of. And everyone can, of course, pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit leads the district president who prepares the call list, that the Spirit leads the voters to call the right man and leads that pastor to accept the call. Pray that the ministry here be blessed when he arrives, and until he does, pray that nothing hinder his work here and that the ministry in his present call not be damaged by his departure. Pray for his family. There is much, much to ask the Lord for. And I can tell you from personal experience that it is much appreciated and powerful when God's people pray for their pastors. Now, today I have not talked specifically about assistants or teachers or principals or staff ministers or the church's elders or officers or other leaders, but in one sense I have. Their calls to service also include aspects of shepherding God's flock. But even to the extent that their duties are different or more limited in scope, they are still blessings, gifts from Christ to his church, to be treasured, honored, supported, and loved just as pastors are. And they will share in the same wonderful reward that Peter and his fellow elders and shepherds shared in. Because all believers will receive it when Jesus returns to take his people, his precious flock, home with him to the pastures of paradise. The crown of glory that will never fade away. This is a treasure beyond measure. And the workers that God has given his church are charged with making sure we all receive it. So be good sheep of both the chief shepherd and his under-shepherds. Trust the saving, cleansing, renewing, empowering gospel that they give you, and rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Amen. Please rise.